Well, I don't know about you, but at times when I start watching the news, I start to get a little bit of despair setting in. You start to look at what's going on in the world. You look at the wars and the nations that are fighting. You look at the young children who are being left behind. And you look at families that have been torn apart from some of the wars. And then you look at the news and you see how critical they are about our nation and about presidents and about policies. I mean, it just comes at you from so many angles that sometimes you can't help it, but you kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed. You feel a little bit down. But what happens is all of a sudden we start to feel hopeless. And being hopeless is a very dangerous place to be. Because when you're hopeless, you start to get very sarcastic. You get very negative. You tend to kind of be a pessimist instead of optimistic. You tend to focus on the negative in people. And when we lose hopelessness and we start seeing everybody as negative, then our whole outlook on life gets just overwhelmingly dark. And when that happens, despair sets in, and sometimes it's hard to crawl out from underneath it. And if we look at the book of Daniel, you can see Daniel was in a culture that was a culture that was full of evil, full of darkness. And things were happening around him that did not make sense. And if you haven't been with us in Daniel, we're just taking little glimpses of the book of Daniel, and we're just seeing his life, and we're trying to figure out how do we thrive in the culture that we're in. Daniel thrived in Babylon, which was a country or was a city and a nation, an empire that was defined by witchcraft, the occult, and every type of sin that you could imagine. But he thrived, he excelled above all of those things. And we've been using the book called Thriving in Babylon. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I would encourage you. There's a few copies left out in the entry. It's a book that I keep hearing people saying it's inspiring. It's a book that is for right now, meaning that our culture sometimes is overwhelming us, and people are starting to wonder, where do we find hope? And Daniel shows us this morning of where we find our hope. And in the book of Daniel, we've also been seeing is that one of our foundational things to thrive is to have this core belief that's at the very fiber of who we are, is that we believe that God is sovereign. That he's in control of everything. He's in control of your life. He's in control of the governments in the world. And he has a plan. Yeah, sometimes we don't always see his plan, but he has a plan that is greater than the plans of this world. And his plan is an overarching plan, and it's a redemption plan to redeem people and then to redeem this world. And he's going to return one day and set everything right. That's his plan. And we have to have trust in that. And Daniel, in the middle of his culture, where everything looked dark and looked overwhelming to him, he learned that God is sovereign and God is going to work things out. But he also learned something, is that the people of God are not exempt from going through trials. They're not exempt from going having difficulties in their life, having circumstances overwhelm them. They're not exempt from having people oppress them or make fun of them or ridicule them for what they believe. But yet, in the middle of it, he didn't worry about what people said. He always was obedient to God. And obedience is where it kind of starts, how we thrive. We obey the word of God, and we live it out. And Daniel was a great example for all of us. But he also showed us that God uses our trials, our difficult circumstances, to grow our faith. I mean, Daniel, if you watch Daniel or Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego from the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, if you watch them, God used all these trials that they went through, and they went through very difficult times. He used it to refine and to build their faith and kind of refine them into the people that they became. And Daniel shows us that the trial is something that God will use. And he uses it for his glory. But today I want us to look at something a little bit different, Daniel's secret weapon. His secret weapon was hope. If you really start to get into the book of Daniel, you'll see that he was a very hopeful person. He never lost sight. No matter what was coming at him, no matter what people were persecuting him, no matter how hopeless the situation looked, he always looked up to God. And that's an example for us, that we are always supposed to set our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who's Jesus Christ. That no matter what this is going on in this world, no matter what's going on in our lives, that we set our eyes on him. Because when we start setting our eyes on the things of this world and the circumstances and all the trouble and everything that's going on, all of a sudden we become hopeless. And when we become hopeless, that's when we start to give up. We stop fighting for what's right. We stop doing what's right, and we just go along with culture. And we are not supposed to go along with culture. Daniel didn't. If Daniel can make it, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in their culture could make it, you and I can make it in our culture, because their culture was far worse than our culture. Now, the thing that Daniel clung to was hope, though. Here's Desmond Tutu wrote this. He says, hope is being able to see that there's a light despite of all the darkness. That meaning that no matter what's coming at us, no matter how dark our culture gets, and it's going to get darker and darker and darker, our world, no matter how dark it gets, you always can see the light of Christ. You can see that there's something that's greater than this world. There's somebody that's in control and sovereign and has a plan, and it's going to work out just like he says it's going to. And you never lose sight of that. That's hope. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says it this way. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So right in the center of the things that remain, I mean, everything else is going to fall away, is hope. It's right in the center of faith and love. And it's the thing that kind of propels us forward and keeps us doing the right things no matter what culture is doing. Sometimes the world is very overwhelming and very dark. And when despair sets in, you want to give up. Despair is worse than depression. It's kind of like a pit that you can't get out of. And I can just tell you, in our world right now, we need a lot of hope. Because there's a lot of hopeless people. And Daniel, in the middle of his culture, was a light that shined hope. He was like a beacon that people would see that he trusted in this God that loved him and cared for him. And he was even willing to lay down his life for his God. And the people saw that. And it kind of lifted people up, and Daniel maintained this hope all throughout his reign as a leader in Babylon. Daniel, if you have your Bibles, if you want to open up to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was a guy that kept hope close to his heart. And now when I'm talking about hope, it's not a flip hope. Like, I hope she'll go out with me. I hope I could get that car. I hope I can have a Filet Mignon steak when I get home. You know, that would be good, but that's kind of like a wishful thinking. The type of hope that I'm talking about is an assurance that you know deep down inside that God is who he says he is. That God is faithful in spite of what we see. That God is going to come to the rescue. That God can be counted on. That he can be trusted. It's an assurance knowing that nothing can take that away from us. No matter what's going on in the culture. No matter what trial that we're under. And so Daniel thrived. But hope was his secret weapon. But how does he maintain hope? Through prayer. Daniel was a person of prayer. He valued prayer. In fact, it tells us in the story that we're going to look at that he prayed three times a day. And he knew that prayer was a conduit by which hope would stir up inside of him. Prayer is how he connected with God. Prayer was something that wasn't an afterthought. It was something that was his first thought. And what's sad to say for most Christians is prayer is not a priority. Prayer is something that we do as an afterthought. It's something that a lot of people look at it as, oh, it's a chore or it's a duty that we have to do. But it's not. It's a privilege. And when we take prayer seriously, like Daniel does, all of a sudden, even in the darkness, even in those overwhelmed times, when we reach out to God and say, God, I need your help. God, please deliver me from this circumstance. God shows up and God delivers. He gives you the strength to get through it. He gives you the ability to endure it. And sometimes he delivers you completely from it. But God in those moments says, I am with you and I'm not going to abandon you. I'm here. I love you. Now, Daniel kind of sees us and knows us through prayer. But he doesn't let anybody stop him from praying. Now, in Daniel also, up to this point, we've seen Daniel, he was underneath Nebuchadnezzar, a king. And Nebuchadnezzar, he prospered under Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar got older. He passed away. And then Nebuchadnezzar's brother, Belshazzar, or not brother's son, Belshazzar, took over reign, and he was only king for a short period because he started to kind of trust in his own power and not on God. He in fact took the articles that were taken from the temple of God and began to drink out of some of the goblets, and they had a big party. And then you may remember the writing on the wall and telling him that his kingdom was going to be taken away from him. And then all of a sudden, the king of the Medes and the Persians, which is Darius, and the reason I tell you this is that Daniel's an incredible book. Not only does it tell us how to thrive here, but it also tells us the future, that God is going to return. It tells us also historical things, and these are historical moments that they're writing about in history. And so King Darius, he's the king of the Medes and the Persians, is coming in and taking over. And he sees Daniel, and he says, there's something unique, there's something special about Daniel. So he puts Daniel in charge over part of it. So Daniel has been at least three or four kings he's underneath, and gets to influence and share about his God and his faith. So in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. It says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So Daniel, it kind of tells us something about his character. His character was based on God and was built on God. Everything that he did was for God and for the glory of God. He always did the right thing no matter what. Now in our culture, we could use a lot of that, where people are starting to do the right thing in spite of what culture is saying, in spite of what a friend says, in spite of what a neighbor says. But we stand up and we do the right thing and we stand up for God. And Daniel stood up for God and people saw it. And they said, you know what, there's something unique about this guy. There's something special. And God blessed him with all kinds of knowledge, and these kings put him in charge. But you would think that Daniel could have a period where maybe he could just sit back and relax a little bit because, you know, they liked him. But no, there was people there trying to persecute him, people that were trying to get rid of him. And we pick that up in chapter 6, verse 4. It says, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of his government affairs, but they were unable to do so. So they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. I mean, that says a lot about Daniel. He's a person of integrity. He's a person that when he's doing his work, he's not just going through the motions. He is doing the work for God. He is doing whatever he is doing to the best of his ability to shine glory on God. And you and I, in our culture, we have to do the best of our abilities wherever we find ourselves, whether it's at school, whether it's in our job place, whether it's in our neighborhood. We have to rise up and be the cream of the crop, if you will. That we have to take the stance and we have to have a moral stance. We have to have integrity. That we have to have character. And this is Daniel. But the people don't like him, though. So they try to tear him down and they're looking for any weakness. And then in verse 5, it says, finally these men said, we will never find any basis for charge against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Verse 6, so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce this decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it can be altered, so it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. So you have these people come to King Darius and they try to kind of win him over by saying, hey, let's have a special 30 days. 30 days where people are bowing down to you or they're praying to you and they're exalting you, King Darius. And what they're doing is they know that Daniel is never going to bow down to King Darius. He knows that Daniel is not going to pray to King Darius. Because if you remember, Daniel's character has shown that he is devoted to God and he's going to follow God's word and he's going to be obedient in spite of what people are telling him, in spite of what culture is throwing at him. He's going to remain faithful to God. And these guys know it. So they get the king to make this decree. And this decree, they can't undo this law. Because in the laws of the Medes and the Persians, once it was put in and stamped, you could not undo it. And these guys knew it. They figured out a way to finally get Daniel down and to tear him down. And now Daniel all of a sudden gets wind of this. It tells us in verse 10. And what happens, instead of him giving up, hope starts to build up in Daniel. He doesn't look at it like, oh man, these people are trying to persecute me. or there's no way out of this. Instead, he goes right to God. And look what he says. He says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. I mean, this is incredible. Daniel, he gets news that if he doesn't pray to Darius, but if he prays to his God, that he's going to be thrown into a lion's den, and it's not just going to be an ordinary death. It's going to be a painful death where he's shredded by lions. But yet Daniel doesn't go, oh, it's so unfair. I can't believe that they're persecuting me. I can't believe what's going on in our culture. I can't believe that they're doing all these things against me. I mean, I hate to say it, but Christians have kind of turned into a lot of whiners. We complain and whine that everything's not like it was. Or we complain and whine because, you know, culture's not going in the same direction that we want it to go. Well, newsflash is culture's not going to go in the direction that we want it to go. It's going to go away from God. It's natural. It's going to get darker and darker. And instead of us going, oh, poor us, or oh, we wish it was like this, we're supposed to do what Daniel did. Daniel says, I am staying steadfast in my faith. I am going to have a relationship with God no matter what culture says, no matter how they ridicule me, no matter how they make fun of me, even if my life is going to be taken. I'm going to bow down and I'm going to pray the one true living God. Daniel, I mean, it's pretty amazing. The first thing it tells us in his prayers, it says that he gave thanks to God. God, thank you for what? Thank you for putting me in this position where people are persecuting me. Thank you, God, that I could be thrown into the lion's den. Instead, he starts to thank God for what God has been doing. That God in the past has been faithful. God has been true. God is always going to be with his people. He's always going to provide a way out. He's always going to be there. He doesn't abandon. And Daniel's thanking God for that God is always faithful and he's always just and that he is in control. But and Daniel's eyes are they're not lifted or put on the circumstance, but they're lifted up to God. And when you guys find yourself in the culture and you're feeling persecuted, you're feeling overwhelmed, a circumstance comes that doesn't make sense, we got to put our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, which is Jesus. And that's what Daniel does. It's like, I got to remember who Jesus is. I got to remember what he has done and what has Christ done. Christ has died an excruciating death for you and I so that we could have a relationship with God. He shed his blood and he rose from the grave to give us life, everlasting life. That's what he's done. And it's like Daniel's setting his eyes on God and Daniel says, set your eyes on God. When you go into prayer, don't negotiate with God. Because you and I are going to be tempted to negotiate with God. God, you know, right now I'm in this situation. You know, these guys are coming after me. They're going to throw me in the lion's den if I pray to you. God, if you do this, then I'll do that. God, if you take this circumstance away from me, then I'll pray. God, if you get rid of the sickness, then you know, God, I'll read the Bible. We're good at doing that. Daniel teaches us something about prayer. A prayer that builds hope is to be thankful to God. Not bring in the things that we want and not make our prayers about us, but just thanking God for who he is. And as he thanks God for who he is, he's looking up. Hope starts to well up inside of him. Because it says that he was asking God for help. He knew that there was no way out of the situation. I mean, he could have went and hid maybe in a room out back or in the bathroom and did his prayers there. But he wanted to go and stand in his faith and show people that he believed in God. And he didn't care if it was going to cost his life. So he goes out on the balcony where people can see him and he's praying. But that's where he's always prayed. It's not he's not rubbing it in their face, but he's always prayed there. So he's not changing his life, his patterns, because of culture. He keeps doing it, keeps saying, I'm going to stay steadfast in my faith. I prayed three times a day to God before this happened. I'm going to pray three times to God while it's happening. And hope starts to build up in Daniel. And you and I need hope. When we look around at our culture, we look around at all the brokenness and all the sickness and everything that's going on, we need hope. Our culture needs hope. But we got to make room for hope. A lot of us have too many things. And you see these jars up here. You see that they're both full of water, right? And what happens, though, is we're kind of like this jar. We have a lot of stuff that we bring into our lives. There's a lot of garbage that we bring in. And we think we can maintain that garbage. But what happens is, it's not just like that old saying, garbage in, garbage out. That's true. But what happens, though, is we think we can maintain the garbage that we're taking in, and we think we can get rid of it, but a lot of that garbage starts to stick. And in our culture, sometimes when we let this stuff come into our lives and fill our lives up, it displaces the hope, and it pushes hope out. And to get hope back in, we have to remove some of the things. And for some people, it might be the news. You get rid of that. I mean, I don't know about you, but it only takes me about 20 minutes to watch the news, and I'm sad, and I'm depressed. And I feel like, man, where are you, God? I mean, there's nothing really encouraging with the news, is there? So maybe instead of turning on the TV and occupying that time with the TV, that you take that time, you say, you know what, God, what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that 20 minutes, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to be thankful. And you know what thankfulness is? It's being grateful for what God has done, for what God has provided to you in this life. Some of you, he's provided children, great jobs. He's provided friends. He's provided all kinds of things. And you start to think about those things, and you focus on that and get rid of the news. Get it out of there. For some people, this is a big one that for a lot of people, it's gossip. Gossip is in so many Christians' life, and it's destroying from youth to adults. It's taking away hope. When is the last time that you were saying something negative or tearing down another person that hope was built inside of you? Gossip does not build hope. What gossip does is once you start talking negative about one person, you start looking at all the negative in the next person, trying to find something wrong with them, and then the next person more negativity and more negativity. And you're consumed by that. And you're not filling yourself with God. You're filling yourself with thoughts and things that we're not even supposed to be focused on. Now, for other people, you might need to get rid of culture. Get it out of there. Because our culture says anything goes. Our culture says everything is okay. Everything is permissible. That's not what God says. God is really clear. Not all things are permissible. There is this thing called sin. And we need to avoid it. We need to get it out of our lives. Culture says, just go ahead, be free, do whatever you want. There's no consequence. God says, once you let sin dwell and manifest in your life and overflow in your life, it displaces hope. For some people, you may have relationships that are just consuming you and you don't know what to do with them. You may need to get rid of it. And it goes on and on. I mean, we could spend all day listing all these different things. And you know what things that you have in your life that are pushing us aside hope. And you notice as I'm taking things out, it's making more room in here. It makes more room so then that way we can actually have hope poured into us. And it fills us up and it would overflow as we remove these things. So Daniel's trying to teach us that in prayer, as we're praying, we're connecting with God, and it's a conduit that helps deliver hope, but we got to get rid of things. Things that are pushing hope out of our lives. When we do that, all of a sudden we become hopeful. And all of a sudden we can be used in this world, and all of a sudden people look at us a little bit different. It's because we start to focus on not these things, all these things, but we start focusing on the author and the perfecter of our faith, things that he tells us to focus on. What do we focus on? This is what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. What are we supposed to do? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in who he is. Rejoice in his awesomeness, his wonder, his might, his love, his mercy. Rejoice in who God is. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's everywhere we're at. That's Daniel. Rejoicing in his culture. Rejoicing when he's under persecution through prayer. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, Paul says, just in case you missed it, rejoice. That's how you build hope. You're focused on God, not on the world or the culture or the circumstance. You're focused on him and who he is. And then the author of Philippians goes on in verse 5 and says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, focus on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I mean, in other words, if you want to get hope, you have to make a choice to get rid of all the junk and the garbage that's stuck in our lives and start focusing on these things. And as you do, hope starts to well up inside of you in spite of what's going on in our world. Because it's all based on God. That's what Daniel did. Daniel, he focused so much on God that other people started to see him, and he was contagious. So Daniel, go back to Daniel. Daniel's found, he's praying. And these guys come and they see him on the balcony, and they figure, okay, now we got this guy. We're gonna take him to the king. And when we take him to the king, this is what's going to happen. He's going to lose his life. And this can't be undone. So they take Daniel to the king. And what it tells us is King Darius was actually kind of upset about this. Because he liked Daniel. He knew Daniel was a great guy who was faithful to his God and did great work for the king. And it tells us that Darius was so upset when all these things happened that after they took him out to the lion's den and lowered him into the lion's den and put a stone over the top of it, that he went back to his home and he didn't even eat. In fact, he didn't even sleep all night because he was so disturbed because this was his friend. This is somebody that he loved. But because he made that law, he couldn't reverse it. So it tells us the next day that he ran to this lion's den and removed the stone. And we kind of pick up there in verse 21. Then the king yells down to Daniel. And then Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted God. He had full confidence that God was going to deliver. His hope was solely in God, and not a scratch was on him with all these hungry lions. I mean, that's just overwhelming. I mean, because God camped angels about him and protected him because he was faithful. He was obedient. He was true to God's word. And then it says in verse 24 what happened. At the king's command, the men who falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, may you prosper greatly. And I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. I mean, that's an incredible testimony, isn't it? I mean, you look at the last part of that, and because of Daniel's actions, because he was faithful, he prayed in spite of the consequences. He was obedient to God. He had hope inside of him that was welling up, that overflowed. And all of a sudden, this king is like going, your God is the one true God. And all the nations and all the languages that are under my power, they're going to revere this God. They're going to think that he is awesome and wonderful. I mean, the world is looking for people who have hope overflowing in them. I don't know if you've ever encountered somebody that has just like that hope and that faith that is so overwhelming. That's what the world is looking for. They've had a lot of darkness. They've had a lot of lies. They've had a lot of people come up short. But they're looking for that unique thing in people to point them towards the one true God, which is the hope of the world. The only hope is Jesus Christ. There's a young lady that came in here to look at she was kind of interviewing for a worship position this last week. I can just tell you that her heart was so focused on Christ that she kind of like bubbled over when she was in here. When she was just talking about what she believed about Jesus, and it was inspiring. I mean, for me to see that in such a young person, just passionate about using her gifts for the glory of God. I mean, it was just amazing. It was almost like I walked away going, "Yes, I'm inspired just by some of her thoughts and just her heart." And that's what the world's looking for, is genuine. And that's what Daniel. He was genuine. And the glory of God kind of is shown through here. So Daniel thanked God, but then he also did something else in his prayers. He praised him. You know, he praised. What would Daniel praise God for? God, praise you that you delivered. Praise you, when I stood up for you, you showed up. When I didn't eat the food that the king brought before me because they were sacrificed to idols and they would defile me and it would go against your commands towards me, I stood up and could have lost my life, but you made me healthy. God, I praise you. You know, when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he was upset and he was going to kill everybody that had any type of administration or magicians or people that could interpret dreams. He was going to kill them all because he was so upset. Praise you, God, that you gave me the interpretation of that dream. God, I praise you that in the middle of this darkness, in the middle of a fiery furnace, you saved my friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not only did you save them, but you were in the furnace with them. You were walking with them, and not even the smell of smoke got on their garments. God, I praise you. I praise you for this moment where my faith is being tested. Because I know, God, you're going to come through. I mean, it's kind of hard for us sometimes when we're praying and we're in the middle of it to praise him. But we have to learn how to praise him in our prayers. The Bible is full of talking about how to build hope. And it's when we praise God, when we praise him for who he is. And I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm 50. And it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and the dance. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the praising, hope is built, isn't it? It's in a life that is praising God that all of a sudden people see something unique. So let me just ask you, what do you need to remove out of your life? What garbage has gotten stuck inside of you for too long and it's been pushing out hope? And you're on the edge of despair. Would you have the courage to remove it? Would you take time this week just to say once a day and actually pray to God, thank him for what he's done, thank him for his power, his glory, his steadfast love, and praise him in the prayers? Yeah, you might be going through a very difficult time. You may be overwhelmed by what life is throwing at you, but can you praise him? Because in the middle of the praise, hope is birthed. And hope stirs. And hope brings life. You see, the author of deception is Satan. He wants to make sure that our eyes are focused on despair. He whispers in his voice into the ear of people, and they start to believe that there is no hope in the world anymore. That darkness is actually winning. We learned last week that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, meaning he can speak these things. But they're all lies. when you're feeling like you're at the bottom of the pit and there is no hope, that is not God. God speaks hope. God speaks life into whatever circumstance you're in. And he does it so that way you and I don't give up. But we cling to him and our faith grows and it prospers. So would you be a person who clings to God in the middle of our culture and says no more to culture, but yes to God? And can we be a light in a world that is filled with darkness where hope is shining and people will see the uniqueness in us, not us, but the one that's in us, Christ? Daniel praised God. Daniel had praised a God that he's never seen. He praised the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a God that he's heard about. But you and I have the privilege of being in a time where we know who Jesus Christ is. We get to see God's plan that was completely unfolded, that he sent his son into the world to die for our sins, to give us hope in the middle of this darkness. Shouldn't we praise him? Shouldn't we be with every fiber in us running around saying, praise him in the sanctuary, praise him in the heavenly heights, praise him in my life? We should be reflecting that to the world. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today and we just thank you for the life of Daniel. How in the middle of controversy, in the middle of difficult circumstances, in the middle of being persecuted, he continued to look up towards you. And Lord, you built his faith and you put hope inside of him, a hope that was so strong that nothing could snuff that hope out. And I would ask, Lord, that you would just rise up hope within us. Hope that you are all that we need. Hope that you're more than enough for whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in. Hope that you're going to come through and you're going to give us the words and the moments that we need them. But God, help us to become the people that you desire us to be. People that are following you with reckless abandon. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.